on, everybody. Put your hands together as we joyfully give on today. You can sing along with us. It says, glory, glory, glory to our King. To the Lamb who was slain for our being. Glory, glory, glory to our King. To the Lamb who was slain for our being. We cry glory. Cry glory. Let's do that again. Say, oh, we cry glory. Say, we cry glory. From the top, let's do it again. Glory, glory. Wow, that was good. Amen. And that music sounded good. Amen. Now, partially because we have a great band here at our church. Give our band a great big hand. But the other part is because Bob Snyder is playing along with our band today. And we hear that rhythm guitar. Amen. Well, it is time now for us to hear the message that God has laid on the heart of Rabbi Stein today. And we are excited about whatever God will say to us through him. Amen. Amen. All right. Now, you're going to do Rabbi here like you did me there. We're going to say amen. Amen. He is different. He has energy. He has enthusiasm. He has a great message for us, and we're excited about it. Before he comes, Bob Snyder is going to bless us with music. Say amen and give him a hand as he comes and blesses us. After Bob Snyder will be Rabbi Stein. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. And it is such a blessing to be here, to hear this beautiful music, and to be here for this sacred purpose of learning from one another, drawing inspiration from one another. So a woman wanted to bring her 5-year-old son to the service at the temple. However, she knew she couldn't sit with him because she was going to be singing in the choir. And so she asked her father, the boy's grandfather, to come along and sit with him. The problem was, she knew that her father had a tendency to fall asleep during the sermon. And so she promised her son $1 if she would keep his grandfather awake during the service. The service was going on, and the woman looked over at her family, and sure enough, there was the grandfather snoring away. After the service, the woman asked her son how come he didn't do the job that she asked him to do for the dollar. And the boy answered, "Well, Mom, because Grandpa gave me $5 to let him sleep." It is so good to be here together. This experience each year is a wonderful way to wake up the spirit, to wake up to the possibilities for what we can do together as one united community. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to speak with you this morning. Deep in the Holy Scriptures, we find the book of Proverbs, wise teachings from King Solomon. And it says there, and we heard these words earlier in the service, letting them rest on our hearts now, it says there in Proverbs, a righteous person falls down 7 times and gets back up. Now, 7 is a symbolic number in the Bible, so we can understand this to mean over and over again. Yes, life can happen, and we can fall down, sometimes over and over again. But if we remember our ability to bring healing and hope, we can get back up again. A righteous person falls down 7 times. And gets back up. This morning I am so honored to be here with you to reflect on our power to love and to heal, our ability to use our unique gifts, our unique perspectives, our own truths, to bring our community down the righteous path. Let me share with you the famous story of the 4 blind men and the elephant. 4 men unable to see are brought to stand alongside an animal. They are placed at different spots alongside it, but they aren't told anything about it. The first touches the trunk and concludes that the elephant is like a hose. Another feels the tusks and assumes that the animal is sharp and hard as rock. The third pats the body and thinks the beast is gigantic, as big as a mountain. And the 4th blind man holds the tail and conjures in his mind the image of a small piece of rope. Now, which of the 4 was right? They all were correct. There was truth in what each one thought, but alone, each had only part of the truth. The total story could be discovered only if they accounted for their limitations and sought to share what they knew with one another, if they sought to share with their fellow. Friends, we are here today because we need one another. We are here today because we need one another, and the power in this gathering, the importance in this exchange of ideas, in this sharing of traditions, is that we grow stronger when we learn from one another. We all have truths that are valuable and important. We each have perspectives that are unique and powerful. They can be woven together into a beautiful fabric. Friends, we are here today because we need each other if we want to create a community that reaches its potential. After the Israelites left Egyptian slavery, they began their journey toward the Promised Land. They arrived at Mount Sinai, where God blessed the people with the words of the Ten Commandments. Now the question is, why Mount Sinai? After all, the holy words could have been spoken from any place in the world. They could have been given as soon as the people left Egypt to reassure them as they began their journey. They could have been held until the people entered the Holy Land, part of the experience of arriving to fulfill the sacred promise. An ancient legend imagines the mountains themselves debating this question. Mount Tabor said, "I am the tallest mountain in all the world. So tall, I wasn't even covered by the floodwaters during the time of Noah. God's word should come here on top of the tallest peak." And Mount Hermon said, "But God's word should come in the Holy Land." And I, Mount Hermon, said, "I am the tallest mountain in all the land of Israel. So tall, I have snow on my peak. The commandments should be given here." And then Mount Zion entered the fray. "I am right in the center of the holy city of Jerusalem. This is where God should speak." And so on, each of the mountains boasting and bragging and arguing why it should be God's choice. Only one mountain didn't speak up. Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai is not the tallest or the most beautiful. It's not in the Holy Land or in any place of note. It sits quietly, humbly, in the middle of the wilderness, in the shadow of the other peaks. And this is exactly how Mount Sinai came to be God's choice, the spot where the holy words were spoken. It is a lesson that these sacred teachings were given out in the open, because the holy words are for everyone, everywhere in the world. The sacred teachings aren't exclusive. They are meant to bring everyone together, to bind us together in a sacred and awesome task, to fill the world with humility and honor, healing and hope, joy and justice. And after the people heard the sacred teachings at Mount Sinai, they continued on their journey toward the Promised Land, and God continued to speak. Now there are five books in the Torah and the five books of Moses. Five books. And in the middle of the middle book, at the center of all the sacred teaching, at the very heart of Revelation, we read the following. Ve'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, love your neighbor as yourself. Right at the very heart of Revelation is that verse, that command, that challenge, that teaching that says, in this world we are to love our neighbor as ourself. Imagine it. The people have left 400 years of oppression. They've come out into the desert. They've experienced revelation. They know they are on the way to the Promised Land. But there is a long road ahead. A long road that continues to this day. And they are told, love your neighbor, love your fellow traveler, love everyone in this vast, mixed multitude that is wandering together. Now that's not an easy charge. It's the very heart, though, of our sacred work as we journey together towards the promise of a better world. On this weekend, in particular, We are mindful of the wisdom and the courage of Dr. King. He was on a journey himself, not through the ancient desert, but through a time of tremendous challenge in our own country. And on that journey, in 1962, Dr. King was sent to jail in Albany, Georgia. He described it this way. He said that jail was dirty, filthy, and ill-equipped. It was, he said, the worst I have ever seen. What did he do there? He didn't despair or give up. He didn't sway from his belief that it was possible to change the world. Instead, Dr. King sat there and reflected on the command to love our neighbor. The companion text from the New Testament, to love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you. Dr. King wrote, "Upheaval after upheaval has reminded us that modern man is traveling along a road called hate, in a journey that will bring us to destruction. Far from being the pious injunction of a utopian dreamer, the command to love one's enemy is an absolute necessity for our survival. To love one another is an absolute necessity for our survival." King goes on to reflect on the course of history, saying, "Time is cluttered. Time is cluttered with the wreckage of communities which surrendered to hatred and violence. For the salvation of our nation and the salvation of all humankind, we must follow another way. I say again, we must not surrender to hatred and violence. To love one another is an absolute necessity for our survival. To love one another is an absolute necessity for our survival." So many centuries ago, the journey began at the foot of that lowly mountain, open and accessible to all. And the journey continued in love and towards love. Love your neighbor as yourself, we were told. And somehow, some way, over the last year especially, we have ended up on a different road. So often we find ourselves surrounded by hatred and violence. Friends, we have ended up on a different road. I raise my voice today because I don't want us to add to what Dr. King called the wreckage of communities which surrendered to hatred and violence. The divisiveness we have experienced over the last year is not something I want to continue. I raise my voice today because I believe we can commit to traveling not on a road of hate, but a road of love, not on a journey to destruction, but a journey to the construction of a world of hope and possibility. Love prevails. The possibility exists each day when we wake up to love our neighbor. We are on a journey. It might seem a journey towards hate and division, but we must answer with love. We are on a journey that demands we act with profound, courageous, audacious love. Love your neighbor as yourself. When we see hate, we must respond with love. Love your neighbor as yourself. When we hear derogatory speech, reject it and speak words that are loving and kind. When we witness actions that are exclusive and demeaning, reject them and demonstrate what it means to build up a community that is embracing and loving and celebrates dignity. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself, and that means holding those in positions of leadership to the fire. Reject those who won't celebrate the great diversity of our country. Stand up and speak out with love. Demand policies and practices that support the neediest and most vulnerable among us, and protect those who are exposed. Our hopes and dreams for our own children must be our hopes and dreams for all children. For the sacred text received at Mount Sinai doesn't just tell us to love our neighbor, but to love our neighbor as ourselves. Our dreams for our own children must be our dreams for all children. Now, some might say that this is too hard, to live with this kind of profound, courageous, audacious love. But I am inspired today, my friends, by one more biblical verse. Sacred teachings found in Deuteronomy. Here's what I found there. This holy teaching which God commands you this day, it is not too baffling for you. It is not beyond reach. It is not in the heavens that you should say, who among us can go up to the heavens and get it and teach it and impart it that we may observe it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who among us can cross to the other side of the sea and get it for us and impart it to us that we may observe it? No, this teaching, this possibility, it is very close to you. It is in your mouth. It is in your heart to observe it and to do it. We each have a truth to share. We need to listen to one another, to share and receive different perspectives, to learn from our neighbors who have different understandings. We need to weave these truths together to create a vision of a more perfect world. We each have the ability to heal the world, to act with love and courage and compassion. Friends, we may get knocked down along the way, but the righteous person falls and gets back up. Let us help one another to get back up, to rise up to the challenge of the righteous journey, to fill our world with love. May God bless us on every step of the hopeful, healing journey toward a world that is filled with love. Amen.
Thank you. Knocked it out the park. Amen. Great job.